Good morning, Tony. It's really nice to talk to you again, middle of the week and all that.
And you, yeah. you've been watching Crufts, I believe, because I know you're a bit of a dog lover.
Oh, yes, I have been looking at them. What I didn't know is all these different newfangled breeds that are coming around.
They mix them up. I've got a bit of an experiment of a dog. As anyone who listens to our dog spot as well will know that Archie is a miniaturised boxer. He's a cross between a boxer and a whippet. And, has all the stupidity of a boxer, but all the tetchiness and worrying of a whippet, but can run like the wind. Does some very strange things, but you know that's for the dog spot. This is to do with dogs in the garden, really, isn't it?
Well, it is really. Several things, really, particularly because I do another radio programme. Mm-hmm. We get loads and loads and loads of questions about patches on the lawn, yellow patches, etc. Particularly if they've got girl dogs.
They're noted for it, aren't they?
They absolutely are. And that's because of the concentration of nitrates in the urine. That's the whole thing. And and the acidity just kills the grass. So there are several things that you can do. You can buy urine neutralizers. And one of them, which is lovely, I love it, it's called Dog Rocks.
Mm.
It's an Australian product, believe
love
it or
it.
Not. And you just pop these little rocks in there, drinking water, and it is organic, and it does actually reduce the nitrates. It removes the nitrates in the urine. So the other thing to remember is plants, obviously, which is my subject through and through. Now, I had a look at the PDSA website the other day, just out of curiosity, and it said, things to avoid in your garden. Now, this is going to make you laugh. Daffodils, crocus, tulips. Now, honestly, surely everybody has... I mean, I've got dogs, you've got dogs, and I bet you've got daffodils, crocus and tulips.
Quite possibly. There's all sorts of things. The only thing we haven't got in our garden is a lawn.
And me too, me
so
too.
Don't have to worry about the nitrates on the lawn, but the dogs do rather like to, sniff and, not so much eat, but do all sorts of other things around the plants.
Yeah, but they don't eat the daffodils, as far as I can all ever see.
Well, they haven't followed, followed King Charles on that one, because I know he was once famous for eating plants, wasn't he?
No comment. One of the things that it really is important, and it's not particularly for dogs, it's for children as well, and that's the good old laburnum.
Yeah.
Because the seeds there are poisonous, and it's not particularly the plant itself, but it's the seeds fall on the ground and anybody picks them up, particularly children. But that brings me back, Tony, to the fact that you teach your dog, don't you? It's like you teach children. You don't go out and say to kids, oh, that looks like a nice yellow flower. You know, why don't you have a munch of that? It looks like a banana. Well, ridiculous. Teach them not to touch it. And you can do that with dogs as well.
Yeah.
Also, use natural pest control. And I'm a big believer in this. Because natural pest control is much, much better. So you get in the biological control for things like vine weevil. You can buy a biological control that is totally harmless to dogs and cats and anything else. And one thing people are going to be in the next week or so, I think anyway, start sowing grass seed. And that bothers me a little bit, unless you cover it up, because if the dog goes galloping down the garden like mine does, then the grass seed may stick in their pads.
Oh, yeah.
That's painful
for dogs, that is.
Absolutely. And it's expensive for the owner as well if they need to get it out.
Yeah. Getting back to
so
your...
So that's really...
Yeah.
And the other thing to remember is if you're designing a new garden,
yeah,
see if you can find somewhere where you're going to put a bit of shade. for, I hope, the summer that we're going to have.
There's an optimist for you. That's about setting the garden, is it? Maybe seek the advice of a landscape gardener or something without actually necessarily getting them to do lots of expensive work. But just seek the advice of a landscape gardener as to where might be the best place to actually put that particular thing in your garden so that there's light and shade and that. But I was going to go back to the something you mentioned a little earlier on. You're talking about weed, not necessarily weed killers, but those sorts of things. No chemicals, really, because it's an ecological thing, not just for the garden, but also for the insects and that. We've done so much damage to the insect population of the world. The numbers are sort of decimated, really, through use of, I mean, quite innocently using, I think, really, in a lot of cases, pesticides to make sure that the food supplies are kept up and all the rest of it. And we've been applying the same things to the gardens, really, when really we need to look for much more natural remedies to dealing with some of the irritants we find in the garden, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest one, I mean, I always sort of say, what's the worst pest in your garden? If I do a talk, I always say, what's the worst pest in your garden? And I say, now, ladies, please do not say my husband, because that's what they always come up with.
Yeah.
But it's always slugs. Always, that's the first thing that people come up with. And there are sort of the beer or beer traps, they're very good.
Yeah.
And copper rings around, you know, vulnerable plants. And the other thing is, you know, things like if you're going to use eggshells, which a lot of people do, then wash them out first. They have to be washed. And one thing that I spoke to somebody the other day, she said, oh, I collect all the eggshells up, she said, that we use. I wash them all out and I put them in the liquidizer. And I thought, that's a blooming good idea, actually. Rather than sit there and crush it. Yeah. So anyway, there we are. So it's just a case of getting plants safe, particularly if you grow things like salvia, or particularly the lovely big blue amistad, and dahlias, all those nice new green shoots coming up. The slugs think they're at a McDonald's somewhere in the city.
Other burger outlets are available.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And don't forget, Tony, we still are going to have frosts.
We are. We're getting a mixed thing, because when we spoke last month, we were talking about the wet ground and sort of delaying slightly the planting of some stuff. Now, we're into a bit of a dilemma, because this month is also sort of fairly wet so far, and it's reckoned to be wet until pretty much the end of the month, which is going to delay planting of some of these things even further. I mean, does it actually matter that some of these items are going to be planted outside of their normal time or later than they normally would be?
No, it makes no difference whatsoever. Nature takes over. And as long as, you know, the plant is alive, and if you're going to plant bulbs, for instance, we've had a few questions couple of months ago, I think, actually, about somebody who'd left daffodils from last year and in the garage, and were they going to be okay? The bulbs were firm. And so I said, well, no, it doesn't make any difference. They will flower a bit later. That's all. Well, and that's what happens.
Not a good idea to plant in this soggy soil, though, is it?
Oh,
because
everything
will just sort of, well, it'll melt down just become a mush.
Which will lead you on to something that you and I don't have, and that's a lawn, isn't it?
Yes. Apart from the dog-soiled lawn and the places that people are trying to repair it with grass seeds and mining the dog's paws, we're getting near to the point when you're talking about lawns. Normally, there'd be some element of sunshine around and the temperature above 8 degrees to allow the grass to grow. Well, I think the temperature's getting a little bit above 8 degrees now. And we're getting towards the middle of March. So towards the end of the month, we're going to actually have to be thinking about cutting the lawn for the first time, aren't we?
Well, we should be. If it is soggy and horrible and wet, don't even think about it. But if you get to the stage and thinking, doesn't it look lovely? It looks really nice and lush. And then all of a sudden you think, oh, God, I ought to do a first cut. Raise the blades as much as you can and just take a little bit off the top. That's all you need to do. Just to, aesthetically, I think, that makes you, as a gardener, think, well, I've done a little bit, haven't I?
Well, there is the thought that, you know, I mean, if you do it with the blades too low, it's, you might as well stick a plough through the grass, mightn't you?
Oh, exactly. I mean, I have a neighbour who, the only way I can describe it is scalps the lawn. But yeah. Now, because of this time of the year, he said, oh, doesn't my grass look nice? I need to cut it. I said, oh, here we go.
You don't do it.
No. So the only other thing that I was thinking about for this week, actually, was roses.
Yes.
I've been on a mission because people know what I do. They all say, can you come and have a look at my roses? I think I've pruned them.
You're the rose lady, are you?
But I think I'm the pruning lady.
Oh, right.
And of course, they've never, ever done it hard enough. And so I said, well, look, I'm a hard pruner for these type of roses, ordinary hybrid teas. You really need to clean the centre out and you need to actually knock them back, really, not right down to ground level, obviously, but really give them a good prune, and always to an outward facing bud so that nothing grows into the centre of the bush. So you need an open centre and all the buds pointing outwards. And it's easy enough to do if you have a look at them and you turn the things over. Do wear gloves. I've got a great big scratch up my arm.
always worthwhile with gloves. You never know. You can be as careful as you like and you get stuck up your
something
nails.
Always and, catches
so, yeah. And you end up with sort of more cuts and bruises than you ever thought of. There are other things that should be done this month, of course. And given that it's not quite a normal March, is it really? Things like pruning bushes, you mentioned the roses, plant onion sets and shallots. It's time for planting onions.
Yeah.
And summer flowering plant bulbs as well.
Yeah.
Are all things that need doing this month, aren't they?
Some of the alliums, and of course now you can start from now on, if you've got a nice sunny windowsill, start sowing your tomato seeds. And I'm going to be doing that in the next couple of days, actually.
You can plant your tomato seeds. Yeah, we're not putting them in the ground. We're going to put ours in, I think we're in boxes, I think, this year, because we got had quite some success with it. But again, not knowing quite when to go with this because it's so wet.
It is. I mean, I don't sow outside anyway. I sow inside and then pot on particularly things like tomatoes and cucumbers. And I grow a little cucumber, which is called Mini Munch. And it's about... Honestly, it's fantastic.
Mini Munch. Oh, I love that. It sounds like
it's lovely, isn't it?
Chocolate, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's another one called Beth Alpha, which is another nice one. And they're little short ones.
Yeah.
They measure about 6 to 8 inches long. Mm-hmm. And they're good for a picnic or just for one person living alone. And they're really prolific growers and fruiters. So I'm going to try a new... tomato this year.
Yeah.
And she's called Sun Baby.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it's just a case of take it easy. Think about the weather and think about the conditions that you can provide for that plant.
Yeah.
I'm a great believer in sowing early if you have the correct things to do it with, like heated greenhouse, which would be an absolute joy to me, but I haven't got one.
Your greenhouse is not heated. You can
I've got a greenhouse, but again, it's not heated. I can't afford it. That's the whole thing. I do have two electric propagators, and so the Sun Baby is going to go into the electric propagator probably the beginning of next week.
Yeah.
So plenty
to
do.
The other thing that I've seen and spotted here, and again, goes back to the wet ground, is planting early potatoes. And I'm thinking, yeah, you really do need the ground to be a little drier before you even attempt that, don't you?
Yeah, because if you're walking on it, particularly, what I keep saying to everybody is that plant roots need air just as much as anything else. And the water at the moment has taken all the air pockets away. So if you're going to go tromping over the top of it, again, you're compressing that and the air gets out of the soil. I'm a great believer in tickling the surface of the soil.
Yeah.
So you do it with a light fork, a border fork, or something like that. And oh, I did tell a friend of mine off the other day. Ooh.
Don't want to be the wrong side of you.
Oh dear, no, it wasn't that. I said, stop it. It's absolutely ridiculous. He said, oh, well, I've got a lady's spade. I said, Derek, that is not a lady's spade. It is a border spade.
Oh, right. Just to get things right.
Exactly, because people think it's a lady's spade. It isn't. And I use a small spade anyway, not because, I'm small or anything else like that. It's the weight. And if you have some of these great big heavy spades, you put your back out if you don't use it properly.
Yeah, I can imagine. So select the right tools, select the right time. And really, I think the
exactly.
advice for this month is put it back a week or two. Let the ground dry out just a little. Otherwise, you're going to get soggy potatoes and probably your tomatoes are going to do all sorts of things they shouldn't do. Jean, we're out of time.
Oh, OK. We always do go out of time, don't we?
Yeah, as always, very, very informative. We're much wiser on things to do. And anybody putting down garden grass seeds this month, keep your dogs away from it, all right?
Or cover it with netting.
That's the one. That's the one. G. Griffin, a joy and a pleasure as always. And we'll hopefully be looking at something a little more sunny next month. For now,
I
G.
hope
Griffin.
So, Tony. I hope so.
Thank you for talking to us this morning.
Cheerio.